Today we have a very interesting passage from Luke chapter 13. It says the Lord was passing through towns and villages, all the while making his way to Jerusalem. Notice that all the Gospels are oriented towards Jerusalem. As you know, the Lord was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, but he's always looking to the cross. He's always looking to Jerusalem, where he would give his life for our salvation. Bishop Sheen said that we come into the world to live, but the Lord came into the world to die for our salvation. So the Lord's on his way to Jerusalem, and somebody asked him a very interesting question. They said, Lord, how many people will make it to heaven? Isn't that a good question? Have you ever wondered that? You know, Lord, is it going to be 10% of people, 50% of people, 90%? It's a really good question. The Lord does not give us the answer. He doesn't give us the number or the percentage. What he does instead, he turns back to the person and says, you, strive to enter through the narrow gate. He calls getting to heaven a narrow gate. And he tells us to strive. Obviously, we're saved by the grace of God, but we have to cooperate with God's grace by our desire, our fervent desire to get to heaven and to be with God. So he tells us to strive, to put in our effort, to put in our energy to get to heaven. So he doesn't answer the question. He just tells us that we have to strive for eternal life. Well, what is this narrow door? What is this narrow gate through which we enter heaven? Well, the gate, of course, is the gate is referring to our time here on earth. Right now we're living in that narrow gate, and that gate is closing as we get closer and closer to our death. I just did a funeral in here an hour ago. And see, that window of opportunity that we have to save our souls is that narrow gate. And that gate, every day of our life, is getting closer and closer to closing. So the narrow gate is our opportunity for conversion, our opportunity for repentance, for salvation. It doesn't mean it's a skinny gate. It just means it's a gate that's only open for a short period of time, and that is closing on us. That's why the Lord in the next sentence explains that to us. After the master of the house, who is God, arises, he will lock the door. That's the moment of our death. The moment of our death is when the door is locked. And there's no repentance after death, as you know. At the moment of our death, we're either saved or damned. We're either going to heaven or hell. Now, those on the way to heaven may have to be purified in purgatory, right, of smaller sins and imperfections. But there's no second chance after death. The narrow door is closing on our life, and it shuts at the moment of our death. At the moment of death, we're either saved or we're damned, going to either heaven or hell. The Lord said, the door will be shut. And it says, those on the outside will say, Lord, open the door for us. And the Lord will say, it's too late. Then he'll say to them, I do not know where you are from. And the Lord here is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And they say, Lord, we ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets. See, they had knowledge of Christ. They had familiarity with Christ, but they didn't know Christ. See, there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. Being familiar with Christ, yeah, we ate and drank in your company, you taught in our streets, that's not going to cut it. You have to have intimacy with Christ, friendship with Christ, a relationship with the Lord. That's why he tells them, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. And then he says, depart from me, you evildoers, and they will go to a place where there is wailing and grinding of teeth. That's an expression for hell, where there's total despair and desolation, where people wail and grind their teeth. Then he says, and you're going to look up, and you'll be able to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. See, the scribes and the Pharisees thought, well, because they were part of the Jewish faith, and they were guaranteed heaven, and they would be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord said, no, you, unless you repent and convert and have a relationship with me, an intimacy with me, you want to look up and you're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but you yourselves will be, says, cast out. And then the Lord says, he concludes by saying, but then people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. The Lord is here referring to the Gentile converts that will come from all over the world, from Africa and North America and South America and Leesburg, Virginia, right? The North and the South, the East and the West, and we'll have the chance to recline a table. That's why the Lord concludes by saying, some who are first will be last, and some who are last will be first. The Jewish people were the first ones called. The Gentiles were called last, but many of them will be first in his kingdom. So I think what we can learn from today's gospel is, number one, how many people will be saved? 10%, 50%, 100%? Jesus doesn't tell us, but he does tell us that we have to strive to get to heaven. We have to make every effort we can to cooperate with God's grace to be saved. And then we can't just know about Christ or have familiarity with Christ. You have to know Jesus intimately and personally. And how do we do that? Through the Scripture and through the Eucharist. Knowledge of Scripture is knowledge of Christ. And then receiving Jesus in Holy Communion.